Hey, everybody. Welcome to Voices from the Front Lines. This is Eric Mann, and we're going to have a very special show today about The Wire, which has just gone off the air, but is having a real celebration, you could say, afterwards. But at our show, we want to have a critical engagement of the culture and the politics of the show. We're very, very lucky. We have Sonia Sohn, who's one of the actresses on the show, who's going to talk about her own life and other questions that'll go on for a whole hour. And Rafael Alvarez, who's written the book called The Wire. He was a writer on the first three episodes from the first 3 years. Sorry. He wrote episodes in each of the 3 years. And he's done a book called The Wire. He's from Baltimore and has a lot of activist background. So we're going to start, see if you think you're nervous, Sonia. I'm going to start. When you walk through the garden, you got to watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon, walk the straight and narrow track. If you're walking with Jesus, you're going to save your soul. Well, you gotta get the devil.
Come on. Yeah, baby.
Way down in the hole. Let's do one more. He's got the fire and the fury at his command. Well, you don't have to worry if you hold on Jesus' hand. We'll be safe from Satan.
Yeah, baby.
When the thunder rolls, just gotta have the devil way down in the hole. Welcome.
Thank
I was practicing that. Okay. So one thing I was thinking about, if it's okay, we're going to start with Sonia, is that
it's not okay. Start with Rafael.
All right.
I'm joking, whatever.
Is one of the things I thought was interesting is that as somebody who has watched the show a lot, there's the identification with character. Like, we think we know you. Mm. We think you're Kima. You know, and all of a sudden we start saying, oh, Kima. And when we meet Sonia Sohn, we think she's Kima. And, of course, we have to realize, no, of course she's not. It's a part. And as you said, it's even entertainment, which we'll get to. So I thought interesting to break out of character, since you're not on the show right now, who were you before you came into the part, like the day you got the part as a person? And who are you now, 5 years later? You, Sonia Sohn.
I would be. That's a pretty deep and philosophical question.
Hey, it gets
essentially, you know, in most ways, I'm still the same. I was taking my children trick-or-treating when I got the call. So I was in wings and a halo, and my kids were all dressed up. We were ready to go out the door, and I got the call. So I'm still a mother of two.
You were a performance artist?
I know, I was an actress at the time. I started out doing performance poetry in New York in the early 90s and segued into acting from there. I had done a couple of independents before The Wire, and then had some small roles in larger films like Shaft and Bringing Out the Dead. So I was out there, right, just not working regularly. The Wire gave me a chance to work regularly.
It sure did. Well, in terms of, what would you say is politically the thing you most agreed with what The Wire was trying to do? And what was the thing that you may think, when they gave you a part, like, I'll do it, but this is not how I would have written the part?
Oh.
Now you're Kima.
No. You're
still Sonia. But when they gave you those parts, what were the things?
There were two questions there. The first was, I'm sorry.
First was, what did you like about what it was trying to achieve politically? And then what
were right. Well, the thing that I liked the most about the show and about David Simon and his crew of writers, but I feel, you know, David's sort of the engine behind the whole thing. I mean, it's his vision, you know, for the most part. And what I admire and respect about what he wanted to do was that he really just wanted to tell the truth. He wanted to take all of the veneer and facade off of how a city operates, what goes on in society today, from, you know, the streets to City Hall, to the police department, you know, basic what The Wire is about. But Yeah, I'm a truth seeker myself, and so any chance that I get to be a part of something that strips down facades, I'm all about it. So I was really excited to be a part of this show when I was asked to be a part of it, and slowly it revealed itself to me what it really was all about, and my excitement grew, my attachment to the project grew. I really felt that I was there was no accident that someone like me was selected to play this role and to be in a project like this, because this is a part of my own life's purpose. This is, so it fell in line with my life.
And in terms of the contradiction with your life, since you said that apparently you grew up in, you know, in not a middle class situation, and mm-hmm. the police were not always, you know, I was involved in the civil rights movement. We have a project here called the Strategy Center called Community Rights, where we're trying to stop gang databases, stop police brutality against young people, and what we call the pre-criminalization of youth. Mm. So in The Wire, you see a lot of the young people who are pulled into the system at very, very early ages. Mm-hmm. Was there anything in the depiction of either your character or the show that you would say, if I was writing it, I would do it different?
You know, the problem or the challenge that was there for David, I believe, was just that, you know, there were so many characters in the show,
right.
So many stories. He had to choose something to focus on. So, you know, I was one of the cops that actually had a little bit of a personal storyline. Right. You know, if I was writing it, you know, would I have, you know, might I have tried to peek into the windows of the lives of the cops a little more? I don't feel that we really got to know them on a personal level. But I just don't, you know, I can't say that I would have done that, because I just don't know if that would have been possible in order to achieve the larger goal, which to me is much more important than, you know, how I would have written or what I would have liked to have shown about my character.
Got it. Eric Mann, you're on KPFK 90.7 FM. This is called Voices from the Front Lines. And we're here with Rafael Alvarez and Sonia Son. Rafael, you're a writer. You wrote. How does it work? Did you write an episode? Do you come in on an episode? Tell us how. Like, what's the writing process? Do you get a lead and they say, "Here's a story"? You tell us. How does it work?
Well, David Simon and I were reporters together at the Baltimore Sun. We sort of grew up in the newsroom. We were pretty young when we first started, and our desks were side by side. We covered the streets. He did it much differently than I did. I sort of evolved into something of a Baltimore folklorist, and he stayed very close to cops and robbers in the best sense of that word. And when he sold the pilot of The Wire, he Hollywood terminology, he threw me a freelance script. So my first year there was they had decided what the arc of the show was going to be, and I think I got number 7. And didn't have very much to do with outlining what that episode would be, because I was not on staff. It was a very small writing staff the first year. After I did that for David, the only other TV work I had done was an episode of Homicide back in 97, also filmed in Baltimore. And that was also through David's kindness. I didn't even own a television when I wrote for Homicide. David and I were sort of the last generation of American kids who dreamed of the great American novel. For him, it might have been the great American nonfiction book. So TV was not something that was on my radar in terms of my goals. I had just quit The Sun. After 23 years, I was there from the age of 19 until the age of 41. Believe it or not, went to work at the same place every day for half my life. That doesn't happen in our society anymore. And I quit The Sun and took a job working on merchant ships. I come from a Seafarers International Union family. My dad was a tugboat man in Baltimore. So I get the freelance script for season one. David liked it, and when he set season 2 on the docks, I was actually sailing on a British cable ship, laying transatlantic cable.
Let's go back to season one for a second. Is that okay?
Sure.
So what I'm trying to understand about the process of how it works is, if they've already scripted, have they scripted show seven on season one? Do you get a basic?
No, they have not scripted it. They've outlined it. They've sketched it out.
So you know where you're writing into.
Yeah, what my job was to get up to speed on 1 through 6.
Right.
Okay. So I know these people, know the characters, know what Kima would or would not do, or try to sense what Kima would or would not do. And Eric, what you have to know is that these things are rewritten constantly. It's always in process up until the minute the script goes to set. And, you know, a script is an operating manual. It's not a novel. It's not a newspaper story. The essence is there. But all the actors and the crew and the costume people and definitely the director take this published script. And by published, I don't mean you can get it at Barnes & Noble. I mean it's not that it's ready for distribution to the crew. And the script then becomes the operating manual to build an episode. So my job in season one was to get up to speed on all the episodes that came before mine. They gave me a fairly what's known as a beat sheet, which is the outline for a television script. And it was like giving me a coloring book and giving me the crayons, but I chose how to fill it in. And, you know, as a writer, that's where my skills came in. It was completely different in season two because I was on staff for season two.
Got it.
I was there from...
We'll come back to that.
Okay.
So, Sonia, when you're on this, you know, you have different writers on different shows. Do you understand that they're different writers? Or when, by the time you get it, it's supposed to be continuous enough that, you know, if you don't get a script, go, wait a minute.
By the time she gets it, Eric, it's Simonized.
That's
all
a
right,
nice
so
term.
He's got
it's
final,
Simonized.
Right, it's Simonized. So yeah. Basically, well, I think that's right. There's got to be somebody with the continuity of the script and the continuity of the character.
And this continuity we're talking about, Eric, is tone,
continuity
of tone.
That's right.
Because when I got my outline, he will say, this guy's going to be shot in Act 3.
Right.
I can't, you know, I may have the license to say how he gets shot, but I can't change that he's going to get shot. That's already been predetermined. Mm-hmm. So tone is very, very important. And I think I'll let Sonia speak to this. But consistency in character from the page to the acting is very, very important.
That's right. Go ahead. So the question is that when you're getting a script, mm-hmm. and you have all these different people writing, now one thing is clear now is David Simon has the final say.
Mm-hmm.
Can you feel a different writer on it? Can you once in a while read a script and say, I like it, but something's changed?
I think that if you search for that feeling, you can find it with some of the writers. However, I felt that that was not a part of my job. And I thought that to do that would just get in the way of what my mission was. I didn't really look, you know, too hard for, I think Richard Price and Dennis Lehane, I think you could kind of see them in their scripts a little bit. I'm trying to think. I would say those two. I could feel out. But then, you know, how much can I say that? Because I also would know that it's their script.
Right.
So I don't know how clear that answer is, but it's a sense.
Well, let me ask you this: that mm-hmm. when I watch the show, one of the things I'm struck by with, you know, all the characters, but thinking about you is like in season one, you're up on this roof already. You're bossing the guys around. The guys are saying, how come, you know, she's the same rank as me? How does she get? And I was thinking, well, some people are leaders and they just take leadership and, you know. But I was watching you as an actress and thinking, every little twitch, you know, every twitch of your mouth, every little facial expression, because a lot of it is not just the lines, it's body language.
Mm-hmm.
How do you figure that out?
It's certainly not through thought.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's a part of the being. You know, knowing the character, really being clear on who the character is, you know, and the way, you know, to do that, you know, for me was to speak extensively, you know, with David or, you know, whoever the writers or producers, you know, have been, you know, on the show over the years, particularly, but very early on. Because for me, you know, as an actor, I am one of the actors who really, I believe that I'm there to help bring a vision into life. And that creative vision started somewhere else before I showed up. And it's really important for me to honor the writer and the creator's vision. I'm a part of a machine, more or less, or an entity that is put together for that. So I just tried to get as much information as I could from David about who the character was. And for me, if I am very solid in my knowledge of the character, then the rest will come. And I will be, and the facial expressions and all that, the way the lines are delivered will stem from that, you know, which to me is a very organic kind of way to work, and I like to work that way.
Well, hi everybody. It's we have a whole hour here. This is Eric Mann on Voices from the Frontlines. Say hello to my co-hosts Tammy Liu, Damon Azali, and Manuel Criollo, all of whom I'm sure would like to be here today. They're all avid watchers of The Wire. I'm here with Rafael Alvarez, who's been a writer on The Wire and has a lot of thoughts about the working class and union politics. Sonia Sohn, who's been one of the lead actors on the show. So, Rafael, in terms of you, here's a question for both of you, actually. How much do you, the basic premise of The Wire is, or at least one basic premise, is that there is a wire. And that is to say there's wiretapping. And that one of the issues I had about the show is, if you're looking at the whole issue of surveillance and the whole issue of informers, because Bubbles is an informer. What do you think about that? In other words, there is an effort to portray, quote, violent crime in the ghetto, but what do you think about police watching people, taking pictures of people, bugging their cell phones, trying to figure out the codes? In one of the scenes, they show a little microscopic camera in the wall of something, and McNulty says, wow, this is great. Is this on video? He says, no, this is live. So on the other side of it, is picture the three of us being watched by the Bush administration. And now we're at dinner. And they got the same pictures of us. And they're going into our thing and checking our taxes and going after us. So the question is, do you have, as a writer, any concerns about the basic premise of the concept of a wire?
Anyone who watched The Wire, even casually, will know that one of the phrases used over and over again is, it's all in the game. And let's take steroids, for instance. You know, the argument everyone was using throughout that period in baseball was, I had to stay competitive. Right. You know, if I was going to keep my job, I had to be on the juice because the guy next to me wasn't even as talented as me and was on the juice, and right. He was going to get the job. I have seen neighborhoods in Baltimore where I spent the first 40 years of my life before coming out to L.A., destroyed by drugs and violence. And I've seen elderly people of all races trapped in their homes that they've owned their entire life because one day they woke up and the neighborhood was gone, for lack. When they call the police and say, my God, Officer so-and-so, I can't even sit on my steps at night, those police have to respond. I guess, you know, the middle class guy in me wants to say, of course I don't want Bush spying on me, but at the same time, the police need to keep up with what's going on down the corner because people are dying. Mm-hmm. Neighborhoods are going down the toilet. You said earlier, or when you were speaking with Sonia, this idea of the wire going after truth. And I would argue that the way it all ended up after five seasons was the bigger truth is that there is no truth. It's all about gray. It's not about black and it's not about white, which is why The Wire would never have been on network television. Nothing was tied up at the end in a way that was a nice little basket of here's your resolution. 5 years, there really wasn't any resolution. If I was going to argue on the side of being in favor of the wiretap, at least you would see it almost every episode, the cops going to the courts to try to get what they needed to get a legal wiretap. There is such a thing in this country as a legal wiretap. I don't believe that's what's going on under the Patriot Act with your right. average citizen.
That's right.
But when it comes to guns and drugs, which I have seen take half of my city down the toilet coming after the destruction of the manufacturing base that kept the city afloat. You know, I as a homeowner in East Baltimore, part of me wants the cops to have that ability.
Hey, you want to go on a quick break, everybody? And hey, D'Angelo, how you doing? So this is Eric Mann, host of Voices from the Front Lines. We're discussing The Wire, wiretapping, tight wire, all those kind of things. And we're going to go on a quick break and come back.